Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cass Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol.
The Michael Van Tol Show, Detroit Sunday Morning News and Information Podcast, produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, brought to you by Benjamin Brothers Realty and the warrior lawyer, Johnny Hawkins. Thank you so much for getting up with us this morning. The Sunday Morning team is here, or at least two of us so far. Henrietta Ivey, political analyst, home care advocate. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to the Sunday Morning team. Shout out to the amazing missionary Hattie Humphrey, and shout out to all of our listeners in Detroit.
Yes, and it was great to have missionary Humphrey on with us last Sunday. She has not been on with us much this year, but she was able to get up early and call in, and we were so glad about that. This morning, our special guest is Mr. Tim Ellerbe. Tim Ellerbe is a musician, composer, producer, even hosting open mic poetry series. Good morning, Mr. Ellerbe. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. I'm very, very good this morning. How are you?
Great. And we're looking forward. We're going to be talking to you about what you're doing in the entertainment world here in Detroit. And it's good to get an update from you. And I'm looking forward to this conversation. And so we're glad that you're here. And we got a lot to talk about. Also, I want to say a few things about my mom, and I just posted, I got a chance, finally, Henrietta, got a chance to sit down yesterday and post some stuff on social media. I don't even have time to post stuff on social media anymore. Unbelievable. I just wanted to let people know about this lady. The backbone of my life, my mother, Mrs. Major Eloise Van Tol. You know, in the Salvation Army, the officers are ordained ministers, and you just don't even know, a lot of people don't know what an officer is, a Salvation Army officer. Let me tell you, during their career, my mom and dad, they were both majors, same rank. And actually, they are missionaries. That's what a Salvation Army officer is, a missionary. They go out, and just like the U.S. Army, they send you around the world. They send you around the world to help people in different situations. And they were responsible for taking care of a Salvation Army corps or chapel and community center. And that was a big deal.
You know what, Michael? It's funny you mention that because my grandmother knows, and how your parents were very highly respected in the Detroit area Salvation Army missions housing. Everyone who knew, when I mentioned that to her, their grandmother, she was like, oh, no. Because I remember when your father passed, she remembered that. And she remembered
your mom.
So, yes, your parents were very well respected in Detroit in the Salvation Army community, you know, where those centers set in the community. Very well.
So that's the environment I grew up with her. The Salvation Army centers, or they call them corps, just like the Marine Corps. So it's based on that military thing. It's a, you know, we're fighting against evil. That's what the Salvation Army is all about. And every time we went to another country or city, they were responsible for having church services. They were responsible for social services. They were responsible for senior citizens. Sometimes they even had a senior Citizens Tower on their property. We had commercial kitchen. We had Girl Guides, mm-hmm. Cub Scouts. We had women's services. We had a gym. That most places we went, we had a gym. That's how I grew up. I grew up in that type of environment, and a little bit of it rubbed off on me, and that's why I do so much with nonprofits today. But I really was a fantasy growing up in that family. Unbelievable. Kimberly Batchelor Davis is here, our lifestyle editor, author, speaker, another world traveler. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. I think you have a leg up on me. Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team. Shout out to missionary Hattie Humphrey, and good morning, Detroit.
Great. We're glad you're here. And I don't know if you saw that posting I put on yesterday. Got a chance to put some things, talk about my mom a little bit. But,
yes.
You know, when she served in her career, I couldn't even list all the places, but I know you just got back from Cuba, but my mother was stationed in Cuba at the Salvation Army, Jamaica, Costa Rica, Panama, the Midwest, the U.S., and many more places I haven't even mentioned. And that was the environment I grew up in. Thank God. I really thank God that I was placed in that family, with Major Fred Van Tool as my dad and Mrs. Major Eloise Van Tool as my mother. I am so grateful. I am happy this morning because I know that she is in a better place. She's in a place that we all would want to be when we leave. And she always reminded me that we are here only for a brief time, I tell you. Mm-hmm. A brief time. That's you know, in the scheme of things, in the scheme of time, we're only here for a little while, and we got to do everything we can to make the best of it. Tim Ellerby is here, entertainer. I think about Cedric the Entertainer. Tim Ellerby, you got to have something after your name because we got to know all the things you do, like Tim Ellerby, the entertainer, something like that. I don't know, but we're going to be talking to Tim Ellerby right after these messages.
He's a member of the Realty.
We find them and fix them and flip them. Got them dripping with style. Got them like wow. Now everyone wants to know how. If you want to do it yourself, you can generate generational wealth. It's so comprehensive and it's not expensive. It's such a financial help. You'll appreciate how we articulate when we communicate and we educate and we motivate and we innovate. It's
Benjamin Brothers Real Estate.
If you want to buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing, please call 331-248-7120 or email us at bbrosrealty@gmail.com. That's bbrosreality@gmail.com.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can out-service me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990. And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that everything is...
All right, we're back. My name is Michael Van Tool. The Sunday morning team is here. Henrietta Ivy, Kimberly Batchelor Davis. Our special guest is Mr. Tim Ellerby. Musician, composer, producer. Good morning and welcome again, Tim, to the program. Let me just start off. First of all, you are in a music group, a group. What's the name of it? And tell us all about your group.
The name of my group is Erogenous.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
Erogenous.
Oh, okay. Okay, Erogenous. Okay.
And we refer to ourselves as Detroit's hottest duo.
So who else is part of it?
Ms. Tamika Davis Shelton is my front woman. She handles all of the vocals and writing and producing with me. And I handle all of the music, co-writing.
So what kind of music is it? What kind of music?
We finally settled on house music.
you finally settled on it. So it seems like you had a lot of options then. And but you know what? That's some of the music I grew up on. I remember going to parties, even our Cast Tech. I'm in a Cast Tech family, and I remember. Mm-hmm. Even to this day, when Cast Tech has the parties from the 80s, when I graduated, it's all about house, it's popular still to this day.
Well, we are looking forward to everyone hearing this new album. It'll be out at the end of July, I think around the 25th. We're tweaking a few more things just to make sure it's right, but I think you guys are going to love it. And I say we settled on house music because when we started last year, we were doing cover tunes, you know, 80s music, 90s music. But it wasn't really our thing. We have a joke that neither one of us can sing.
Okay.
But we settled on house music because we both have a love of it. And it's actually turned out really, really well.
You know, there were some house music tracks. I don't even remember the names of them. I remember what it sounded like, but back then I didn't even know what the names of the, you know, the tracks were. And I'm just nowadays I'm just finding out about some of the names of it, like Nightcrawlers. Push the Feeling, that I didn't know what the name of that sound what it was, you know, the name of it at the time, but years later I found out about it. Were you part of that at that time? How did you participate when house music was the it thing?
I didn't actually, Michael. I really just got into this with her. And most of what I've done musically has been with different bands like Enchantment, The Dramatics, and Dream Element. So this was kind of a new thing for me. I've always liked house music. I've even written some in the past. But this is the first time that it's like a mainstream thing for me going in the public eye.
Do you also DJ?
No, not quite yet. I'm actually training for that now.
So you keep adding things to it. So right now you are writing, producing. You're producing the music and writing. You're composing it.
Right.
Now you're also. Do you produce other people? You know. Up-and-coming artists, new artists now?
Well, I'm glad that you asked that, Michael. That's also a new thing. And the answer is yes. The first artist that Cam and I have produced is a young woman, local woman named Crystal Cumming. Her album is done. It's released. It's called Gemini Love, and we are super proud of it, super proud of her. And we're also working on a movie soundtrack with Terrace Walker Films, and that film comes out next month. And well, actually later this month, it's July now. So right. Yeah, later this month. And we contributed about 5 songs to the soundtrack for that movie.
You know, I am trying so hard to get out to some of these poetry venues and open mics. I get notices all the time. I know you got one going. You don't know, but I have been trying to get to your poetry open mic. Tell us about that.
Well, Sam and I were putting together a summer series, and that was supposed to be a huge part of it. It hasn't exactly worked out the way we've intended.
Mm-hmm.
But we think that, you know, we usually have to take a step back and reevaluate some of the things that we're doing, some of the individuals we're working with, and basically do a reset. So for next summer, we actually want to have a summer series every year from April through the end of August. So we do have a couple of things in August, but none of them are poetically based, but we will be returning to that next year, you know, with more careful planning, shall we say.
You know, I've hosted open mics in the past, and the last time I performed was a weekly set at a restaurant in Southfield before COVID, and I'm trying to do my first concert this fall since COVID. I've done open mics before, and yes, it is, it's like almost like a science to jumpstart an open mic poetry series. There are,
yes,
because first of all, you gotta find the poets. You gotta let them know what you're doing, and you have to let them know where you are, and then you have to give them time to put it on their schedule. It's I'm telling you, I've done it many times over the years, and it is a science. And then I've done some where at the beginning, it might be just a few people there, and you just have to be very consistent, and you gotta stick through it, you know, and you may have a few people one day, the next week it might be less, the next week it might be a little bit more, the next week it might be less, and then all of a sudden, after a while, when people get it in on their calendar and they get used to it, it starts to take off. It's almost like lighting a match.
Yes.
It's like lighting a match. And then finally, it can take off after a while, but it does take a lot of effort. It's not like any other type of event. Poetry is very unique. And you got to find your audience, and it takes time. I don't even know if I have the energy to host one anymore, but I do look forward to doing another show. What got you into doing the open mic poetry?
Well, that's really Tamika's avenue, and Crystal too. She does spoken word on her album as well, so I'm just along for that ride.
Did you write poetry yourself? And you know, matter of fact, how do you write your songs? Because I know a lot of people, like even myself and others that I know, some songs come from poetry. Jill Scott, she did the open mic series. Tupac, he did a lot of poetry. Did you do poetry?
I have done that in the past. Yes, I used to attend and participate with Natasha Beautiful Thought Ane, and she would host, what was it? It was like a Friday night poetry series. And I did a few pieces there, and it was enjoyable, but I was mainly her music for the evening. I would, you know, play the music behind all of the poets and the interludes and everything. But I do write poetry. I have several poetry books out on Amazon. And as far as the songwriting, you're right. There's a lot of similarities between the poetry and the songs. I'm more versed in writing like love songs and things of that nature. For music like the house music, for instance, it's mostly me doing the music. And I leave most of the writing to Tamika, but like if it's like sing along songs, yeah, I can do all of that. That's fun. And it has influenced the poetry that I do.
Do you do you have your own record company, or what do you do, or are you under contract with somebody?
No, I do have what I like to call a fledgling label. I started Temperance Music as a means to get my music out, but it's growing so fast that I've decided to just, I have it as a DBA right now, but I'm ready to make it an LLC because, again, it's growing so fast and I want to keep all of the business aspects of it in place and together, you know. So I'm looking to do that in the next couple of months.
Let me welcome another member of the Sunday morning team, Evangelist Christy Laster Andrews, prophetess, songstress, Evangelist. Good morning, Evangelist Christy. How are you?
I am wonderful. Good morning, Michael Van Tool. Good morning to our guests in the Sunday morning team and those that are listening. Please excuse my voice. I'm a little hoarse this morning, but I'm happy to be here with everyone.
No problem at all. We're talking to Tim Ellerby, musician, composer, producer, and he's given us an update on some of the things that he's working on. And so, Tim, when did you start all this? And what got you into music and composing and writing and performing?
Well, I've been playing music since I was 9. It kind of runs in the blood of the family. My mother plays and sings. My father was a musician and a pastor. And I just started.
You said your father was a pastor? Wait. Slow down a second. Say that again.
My father was a pastor. Well, yeah, he's retired from that now, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, it runs in the family. And I just got involved with it. Me and my friends would make music instead of going outside, getting into trouble. And I think around about my mid-20s, Enchantment hired me. And I haven't looked back since. I started writing and releasing my own music maybe about 15, 20 years ago. And it's been pretty much a ride, and I'm enjoying it. And now that the kids are grown and gone, I have much more time to be a rock star.
You know, that is really the difference nowadays. I wish more young people, especially young black men, I wish, you see what happens when you have something to take up your time, your creative time, and you can be productive and create things. It keeps you out of trouble, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Yes, absolutely. Let me see if let me go down the list and see if the Sunday morning team has questions. Again, Henrietta, thanks for bringing Mr. Ellerby on the program. Did you have a question or comment that you wanted to bring to our audience this morning, Henrietta?
Good. Thank you, Michael. And you're welcome in response to bringing Mr. Ellerby back. You know, I have worked with Mr. Ellerby for many, many years. I know his work. I know we talk frequently, daily, about what's going on in each other's life, you know, to keep each other uplifted in the career choices that we have. I'm political, he's music. And I just want to say thank you for coming on the show and giving us some return information and updates on what's happening with Temperance Music. We have so much going on. I don't want to give everything away, but we definitely are in collaboration and doing some stuff together. And so I just want to say, in doing music, what keeps you motivated? I mean, because right now we're in this environment of everything is rap and everything is hip-hop, and even with some of the house music and R&B music and pop music, it's sometimes it was all combined into rap. And it seemed like a lot of artists and singers are trying to keep relevant with putting rap in their music, because rap is seen to be the leading music genre. How do you stay afloat, sticking with your own, you know, kind of music, and not being pressured by mainstream into turning everything that you do into some form of rap or hip hop, or, you know, sexualizing, or, you know, adding the drug culture into your music to make it relevant? What keeps you motivated and above all of that in doing this amazing music? Because we often talk, and I've said to you before, we need some clean music, and you surely produce that now. But how do you stay motivated and not just say, you know what, I want to give up, or fall into the norm of adding all the negativity to your music just to get it out there?
Right. Well, that's kind of twofold. I've been trying to do this for a while now, and giving up is definitely not an option. I believe wholeheartedly in finishing what I started. And a lot of this I started, like I said, when I was really young, and it's always been a dream to have my own record label and to do the type of music I want to do. It's really hard in Detroit to produce and release new music, because there's a kind of a thing where they're kind of stuck on Motown and hip-hop, like you say, and it's really hard to introduce anything new because it's not really well-received. That's not to say it can't be done. A year ago, nobody knew who E. Rodgers was. Now we have a growing following. What keeps me motivated is I just want to get to a point where myself and the rest of the musicians and singers that I work with release music, whether it be here or internationally or nationally, or to have something new. And a lot of what I'm interested in doing as far as songs goes is more love songs, because there's not enough of those. There's a lot of songs telling you to give up on each other, or I smashed the windows in your car, and all that hatred set to supposed romantic music. I want to bring back the old school love songs like Enchantment used to do, like The Temptations. We want to write songs like that that resonate with people in love. And as far as the house music, that's the second part of why I don't give up, because working with Tamika has been something I've been wanting to do with a partner for a long time, to build something that has longevity. I've tried to work with a few people in the past, but as soon as they determine there's a lot of work to be done, they bail on me. And she's been great about being supportive of what I do, and I'm supportive of what she does, because she has a lot of her own things going on with her Women of Worth Foundation, which it supports women who've been through domestic violence and things like that. So we have a big heart for the work that each other does. But her support for me helps keep me going and not giving up, and vice versa. So,
Tim, have you noticed even a lot of the new music now is a lot of samples from music that we grew up with? I mean, where is the creativity out here anymore? You know, I was listening to something from Nicki Minaj the other day, and it was something from way back. They're using these tracks, and they're using the old songs, and they're just putting a new spin on it, but there's no creativity anymore.
Right.
Yep. And I would take offense to that so much, because there are so many musicians who write their own music. They learn their instruments. They play their instruments. And it's, for me, it's not to take away from what some of the sampling artists do, because it can be kind of creative when you look at the technology. But I come from an era where you had to learn your instrument. And I'm always myself trying to do better with the instruments I play, so I can write better songs that actually have, say, verse, chorus, bridge, you know, and, you know, things like that. Anybody can start a drum machine and make a four-bar measure, and hey, they think they have a song, and for somebody it's a song. But think outside the box. That's what I like to think. Think outside the box and do something more than what is just comfortable. or immediate. And unfortunately, it makes a lot of sense in our current climate, because everything today seems like everyone wants everything instantaneously. And the music has suffered because of that, too.
Yes, I think Nicki Minaj was using an old Rick James track. And it's interesting because the kids today think this stuff is brand new. This stuff,
right.
Some of these songs have been recycled. The tracks and the beats have been recycled and become a hit. Like every 10 years, here's a new track.
Right.
You know, it's the same track, but it's a new song. And these young people think that, you know, it's all new. Kimberly, you got a question or comment for Tim Melody?
Okay,
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, you're getting a little, you're breaking up. While she's getting it together there, Christy Last, did you have a comment, question? Christy Last, do you come from a musical family? You got a question or comment for Tim Allaby?
Good morning again. You know, I just want to say that I appreciate Tim for speaking on learning his instrument and learning his craft and not just focus on, you know, I appreciate those that make beats and do all of that, but truly learning his instrument and learning his craft. And I think there's an opportunity to help young people to pick up an instrument and actually learn the instrument, learn the craft, and then be creative and don't just go with what everyone else is doing. And that's what I'm appreciating about Tim today. He is understanding where his lane is, and he wants to continue to pursue that, even though it's challenging in Michigan because we're the Motown city, Detroit, and all of that, and so many gospel singers and then rappers that are up and coming and all of that. But just staying persistent and pursuing and introducing something new to people is so important. Now, there's certain music I just don't listen to. That's just me and my own personal. But love is a universal language. And so talking about making songs about love to, you know, that couples can listen to, because somebody is out here loving somebody. I just went to a baby shower and there were 300 women there that were pregnant. So somebody out here is doing something. So I appreciate that, you know, making music that people can listen to and feel good about and not want to do something that is inappropriate for their lives as a result of feeding their soul that music. So thank you for pursuing something different, because you can be a light to young people to show them that you can do something different and be successful at it.
Absolutely. Tim Allaby, anything that you wanted to bring to our attention before we wrap up? Because I know you are doing multiple things. When you restart your open mic poetry series, I would love to stop by and listen in, maybe read or recite something one day. But when you start it back up, you know, I'll be happy to you know, jump in there. I don't get a chance to go out much anymore. You know, I used to do I used to host them. I used to go out to the cafes now. And now, as a result of my poetry, I don't even have time to go to them now. But I'll be anxious when you restart to support you.
Well, I would definitely keep you posted. And I'm like you. I get invited to so many things, and it's like you can't do everything. And I have a full-time job, and then I have the music. So it's like you have to pick and choose what you're doing. What do we have coming? What do we have coming up? So Hug Detroit Day is August 27th. That's put on by Sky Covington. And I'll be the stage manager for that, but
Where's that going to be?
Also be performing.
Huh? Where's that going to be? I've seen her in action. I've gone to her shows before. Where's it going to be on the 27th?
I'll get the details to you. She still has to work some things out, but I know it's going to be a outdoor community. Yes, definitely, definitely. And again, Erogenous' second album will be out on the 25th of July. It's called Ebb and Flow. I'll make sure you get a copy of that.
Great.
And the movie's called Detroit Cable Connection 2. And that premieres also, I think, the 25th of July. And we have, again, we're pretty much in charge of the soundtrack over here at Temporis. We've submitted 5 songs for the film. I just wanted to do the end credits song, but it turned into something altogether different. I have a part in the film, so that's fun.
Well, great.
So I'll be doing it this month in August, yeah.
Well, definitely.
While I'm on that, I am trying to drag Henrietta into the studio to record a song.
She has not.
Now you're going to tell people that thing. I was trying to keep that hidden, Tim. I was really trying to keep that hidden. Like, I mean, you know, that was one piece of me I was going to surprise the world with one day.
I've had her. She has sung at my open mics before. And she can sing. She's one of those people that she didn't even take herself seriously. If she took herself seriously, she could really do something. And that's something, you're right, you need to encourage her. Encourage her.
I will.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys.
If I can just get her on one song, I'll be happy. Just one. Because she has a voice.
Yes,
thank you,
Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, guys. There was at one point in my life I wanted to be a world-class jazz singer. My family literally thought I was going to eventually, you know, become a singer. They tried to encourage me, but life had other plans for me. So I sung to my babies. I sung at birthday parties and weddings and in the shower, and I sing amazingly well. I do. So we will see. We'll see what the plans are for that. I'm sure I'll get one good song out there before I turn 100.
Okay. Tim Ellaby, thank you so much for joining us on the Michael Van Tool Show. We enjoyed talking with you, and we look forward to following you as you accomplish things in the future. Please make sure you update us so we can be there and support you going forward. Thank you so much.
I truly will, and thank you for having me, Michael.
Absolutely. All right, we'll be right back after this message.
Everybody ready? That's right, come on. Let's let him know how much we love him. He's been good. He's kept us through a pandemic, from danger seen and unseen. That's why we love you. Let's go.
I love you, Lord. I love. Yes, I do.
I love you, Lord. I love. Because you're worthy
of me. I love you, Lord. I love. I love you. Yes, I do.
I love you, Lord. I love.
Said I really do. I was driven without a
to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that everything
is
going to
be all right. All right, we're back. My name is Michael Van Tool. The Sunday morning team is here. Thanks for joining us. Kimberly Batchelor Davis is back with us. I did want to say a few things about my mom, Major Eloise Van Tool, Salvation Army Major. And thank you guys, Sunday Morning Team, and those who are listening. I've been getting a lot of messages on social media and a lot of text messages and phone calls over the past few days. Thank you for those kind words. And Evangelist Christy Lasser, thank you for the Lasser family providing music at her home going this Saturday, July 8th. Thank you so much, Evangelist Christy, the Lasser family participating in the home going for my mom. One of the things that I remember growing up in, you know, my mother was born in Bermuda, and I'll never forget some of the meals that we had. Our meals, it was almost like we were at a restaurant, and we had a menu, and every evening it was a different Caribbean meal. We had all of those things, you know, even going, and it was a fairy tale. Growing up in our family was almost like a fairy tale, because we had one of those Volkswagen Beetles, those little round cars.
Mm-hmm.
And we would load up everything up, the five of us, my sister, my brother, myself, my mom and dad, and we would go to the beach and have a picnic. It wasn't a holiday or anything. We would just decide, you know, my mother would decide, just let's go to the beach today. And she would do fried chicken, chicken wings, potato salad, Cobb salad, green beans. Mm. And we would just spend the whole day at the beach. When I look back and think about my childhood and growing up, it was really like a fantasy come true. And I look back on these days, and I just thank God that I grew up in that family. I grew up with those parents. You know, we would go to the beach, and, you know, in Bermuda, it's so clean, and the sand is pink. There's seashells. The water is so clear. The water was so clear. You can see fish swimming around you as you were swimming.
Mm.
That's how clean the water was, and that's how you could see. You can open your eyes while you're swimming. You can see the bottom. You can see the sand. It was just crazy, strange. We would even go out in the evening when it got dark. And, you know, around Bermuda, there are many little spots where you can go to swim. We would, as a family, we would go and swim in the evening. And I would look out into the water. It's pitch black out there. And, you know, there is a Bermuda Triangle thing. I mean, there is an area where it's mysterious, where things happen. And I would look out there. But my mom and dad were there, and I wasn't afraid. You know, I was not afraid, and I didn't have any fear. But I mean, if I went now, I would be very afraid to go in the dark at night. You know, because there are sharks in Bermuda. There are sea creatures, but I didn't think about that growing up. And another thing my mother liked to do is to go window shopping. And, you know, Bermuda is a tourist trap. I don't know if any of you guys have been to Bermuda. Evangelist, have you been to Bermuda?
I have not. You were making it sound very interesting and just started talking about creatures.
Exactly. I want to go now.
Yes. Well, you know, it's very expensive there. And so downtown in Hamilton, Bermuda, there are all these shops. And, of course, the cruise ships come in, the flights come in at the airport, and the one of the biggest destinations is Hamilton, Bermuda, which is downtown, the main city in Bermuda. But there are a bunch of stores, and you know, it's hot in Bermuda, and as you walk by each store, you get a blast of cold air because the air conditioner is inside. So actually, you're walking around, it might be 90 degrees outside, but you're okay because as you're walking past the stores downtown, there's a blast of cold air coming out of every store. So you really are, you're really enjoying walking around. And the displays in the window are so creative that many of the people that live in Bermuda, they just go and window shop and look in the windows. We didn't even realize that, you know, our parents weren't buying us anything. We just enjoyed looking at the windows, at the window displays of the clothes and you know, beach towels and T-shirts and all the different things that the stores would sell. We would walk through and just look at the windows. It was fun riding the buses in Bermuda are pink buses. And one thing about Bermuda is a lot of color, and the houses, all the houses are different colors in Bermuda, and the roads, there's just one lane in each direction. If there's a problem on the road, you may have to just sit there and wait until it clears up or try to go around, because there's only one lane on most of the roads, and the speed limit is like 25 miles an hour. So even with that type of environment, just living in a home of two ordained ministers on an island like Bermuda, you're sheltered. I lived a sheltered life, but I'm so glad that I grew up in that family. And I was wondering why, God, I asked God, why did you put me in a family like this? There's so many rules. I can't do this. I can't do that. But you know, evangelist, now I look back and I realize, I know now that I've grown up, I know why God put me in that family, because that's the type of family I needed. Because I could tell you this, if I didn't grow up in that household, I don't know where I would be today. God knew that he had to put some extra controls on me, extra restraints. He had to have some real rules in place for me, because I can tell you right now, if I didn't have those rules, if I did not have those things placed on me, restrictions, I would have been out of control. I don't even know if I would be here today. So God knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. God thinks about us way before we even, he knows us way before we even know ourselves. And I thank God. And another thing, I was talking to Pastor Charles yesterday, and we had a long conversation. And I told him the story about me running. He laughed. He was laughing at me. He was not surprised at all. And I said, yeah, I tried to run, and then somebody introduced me to Hattie Humphrey, and then I ended up on the Praise Network, and, all I know is that God played a major part in the direction of my life from the very beginning. I didn't even know. I did not know, but I thank God for my mother. She had some long prayers, too, when she prayed. She would sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. And after that, after leading the congregation in Sweet Hour of Prayer, then she would pray a long prayer. And then finally, we were able to open our eyes after that long prayer. I'm sure I kind of fell asleep sometimes when I was little, you know, when I was 5 or 6. I, I know. I did. I admit sometimes her prayers were so long, but you know, she didn't repeat herself either, like some of these preachers today, how they repeat themselves, say something over and over again. No. She covered a lot of bases when she prayed. And after she finished, if my dad did the sermon and my mother prayed, you knew you were in church that day and you were impacted. And when you walked out of church, you dealt with things in your life. You could not go to church with my mom and dad and walk out of there and not want to change something in your life. And Evangelist Christy, you know what it's like because you grew up the same way. We had no say in,
mm-hmm.
We could not stay home from church. That wasn't even an option. You know, maybe if you were sick and you have to be on your deathbed, but you had to go to, you know, we even had outdoor services sometimes. We had Wednesday night prayer service. We had Sunday evening service. You know, a lot of churches don't have it anymore. We had Sunday evening service. And then during the week, we had other women's ministry. We had Girl Guards, Cub Scouts, and all that. We had the basketball gym. You know, my parents were in charge of the Salvation Army Corps Community Center, which includes a chapel and social services offices, classrooms. It was all of that. So there was many times when we were young, we were there every day. We were there every day. If we weren't in school, we were there at the Salvation Army. But I'm so glad that I grew up in that family, and I grew up with these wonderful, devout Christians. You know, I felt like, you know, I was being restrained or restricted at the time. And I thought sometimes the sermons were long, the prayers were long. But I could tell you right now, I wish I could go back and live some of those days again.
It sounds like Michael had an amazing upbringing, and you had amazing parents. Your mom and dad did a phenomenal job with you and your sister, and you guys have this amazing legacy that your parents left. And so in hearing your story, you know, you dedicated so well to your mom. I can only say I wish that the children of today had that kind of love. And I say that with my whole heart because I feel like a lot of our children are missing just what you just stated, wish that you have had in your life, which in turn made you the man that you are today. And we have lost that. And it would be, you know, it would be amazing if mothers and fathers of our time, your time, could give their children that experience. And what it sounds like to me, your parents gave you the experience of full, unequivocal love. Again, and, you know, it's just amazing to hear you dedicate to your mom. So, again, my, you know, condolences to you and your family because I felt that. Because I miss my dad. I know how it is to have a parent and parents in your life that have given you so much. And when you're growing up, you think you're restricted and all the stuff you think you're missing out on, they actually saved our lives. And so that was just absolutely beautiful, absolutely beautiful dedication to your mom.
Some of the things I'm saying now, I know I'm going to say them Saturday. I'm going to put it in on paper because I want to paint a picture of what my mother was like because we were the typical Caribbean family. We ate avocado, plantain, codfish, cassava pie, fruitcake, tea, curry chicken, pound cake. You know, those, along with pork chops and chicken and steaks and all that stuff, but we had, and then our meals were very spicy and had peppers in them. And as they got older, the doctors would tell her that she can't keep putting all that pepper and salt and hot pepper into the food, so she had to tame it down a little bit. But I remember we had some very lively dinners, and I look forward to that and to this very day. And it, like I said, it was like a fantasy growing up. And then we got to travel, and that's the other part of it. We got to travel around the world as Salvation Army officers and families. You know, the Salvation Army sends you places. They send you, so you don't get to choose where you go, where you want to go. They send you a letter or call you and tell you where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Country to go to, what city to go to. So it was just, like I said, it was just a unbelievable dream growing up in that family, in that Salvation Army family. And I always wondered, you know, what did I do that God would reward me by putting me in that family? I feel now, Christy and Henrietta and Minister Smith, who just joined us. Good morning, Dr. Smith. I feel that I have now that she's gone, now that both of them are gone, I feel now the pressure for me to step up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel pressure now. It's like, you know, like when you're riding a bike and learning a bike and your training wheels are removed. Now I feel like those training wheels are moved and I have to step up and do something that is right and honorable. And this is having, this is a big impact on me. And, you know, I thank you guys for being part of this Sunday morning team. It really means a lot. And thank you guys. Minister Smith, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How are you all?
Just fine.
The minister earlier.
Big bruh, you know I'll be back in time. I'm here for you. I'm going to be with you through it all. I love everybody. I just need to get away because I got so much on my plate and just need to get away. Then I got to go back to see my mom. So y'all pray for me.
Absolutely. And I know you got a lot going on. You've been in the studio. You've been working on your ministry. Making some changes in your personal life. So I know you got a lot going on. We appreciate you, and we are so glad that you're part of the Sunday morning team. And so God be with you. Be safe as you're out and about. And, you know, and also we pray for your improving in your health and, you know, that God will restore you to 100%.
So listen, when I get back in town, you and I'll touch bases, and I'll be there with you, big bro.
Okay. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
I love you, man. I'll be checking on you throughout the week.
All right, man. Take care. Love you, too.
All right. Bless you.
All right. All right. Let me go down and get some input on what you guys are working on. Evangelist Christy, the floor is yours.
Well, I have been just going and ministering at different churches. I had an engagement last night, and just I've been doing a little bit of traveling in ministry. And then our church here in Detroit, we've launched a second location in Battle Creek. We've been working on activities that we're doing in Battle Creek to win the lost there. And I just want to say to you, Michael Van Tool, that we do love you, and I just wanted to give our condolences to you and the loss of your mother. There's nobody like a mother. When you have an amazing mother, a loving mother, that teaches you the ways of the Lord and teaches you how to have a relationship with Christ and teaches you the word and just loves on you, teaches you life skills, there's nobody like a loving mother. So I'm glad that you've had the opportunity to have an amazing mother, as so many of us have. And I agree with Henrietta, if we could have that for all of our young people these days, a mother that protects you, a father that protects you and keeps you from all of the craziness that's happening in the world and helps you to make better decisions, it will shape your life. Having the strict upbringing that I have had, it has saved my life. Now, while others were so curious about what they could not do, they had to explore, and some people weren't able to make it back after that exploration. But those strict upbringings have made a difference in our lives. And Michael, you mentioned, you know, about you feel the pressure to some degree, like the training wheels coming off. Now, you know, you have to rise up to a certain level or a certain standard. And yeah, the thing is, legacy has been established. Your parents showed you the way. They showed you by example living a life for Christ, and they've instilled in you all the tools that you needed to be who you are today, and then to even go further than they did once they are not here on this earth. So legacy has been established, and somebody has to pick it up. So once legacy has been established, you know, if there are offspring, sometimes there's not even offspring. There's other people that they connect to and they pour into and they pick it up. But either way it goes, it has to be picked up. I thought about Nehemiah when he made a decision that he was going to build the wall because he saw the state that the people were in. He saw the state that the children of Israel were in. So he made a conscious decision that he was going to rebuild the wall for protection, so they had a place to worship in peace to keep them, you know, from the enemy infiltrating and coming through and just, you know, doing whatever they wanted to do. He made a decision that he was going to build the wall, and he was doing a good work, and he would not come down. And he was able to do that good work because the good hand of the Lord was upon him. And one of the scriptures in Nehemiah, I think it's around the second chapter, maybe the 17, 18 verse or something like that, what he says is the hand of the Lord will prosper us, the good hand of the Lord. The hand of God of heaven will prosper us. It says that in Nehemiah. So you may be in a different phase in your life, but the God of heaven will prosper you because legacy has been established. So we have to get back to those roots that we were taught when we came up. That's all I got this morning.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And part of my conversation with your brother, Pastor Charles, yesterday, it was a very personal conversation, and it was honest and real, and we both came from very similar circumstances as we were growing up, and I told him that I know myself, I know me, and I know that from all the success that I've had, I don't believe it was from me. It was the grace that God gave to my parents. And I think a little bit of that fell on me because I look back and I did not deserve, you know, it's almost like I have a poem where I wrote about why did we get or have or live where we are, have the things that we have. We could have been born in Somalia. We could have been starving in the desert somewhere. We could have been lived in a war zone. But why did God allow us to have to live here? Why did God give us all this wealth? Do you know how much wealth we have right now, you may not think you do. Go somewhere else. Go to another country, and you'll see that we are living in wealth. You know, I thought about, what did I do to deserve such a good life? What did I do to deserve such a good family, to grow up in a good family? What did I do to deserve what I have been able to accomplish all these years? And I can tell you, I really honestly believe that it's because of my parents, not me.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's God's grace.
Absolutely.
Legacy.
Absolutely.
Grace. Yes. It's very sobering when you think about, because there's a lot of stuff we really, if God did gave us stuff because of what we accomplished, I wouldn't have anything. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, I would not have anything if it was, and it's only because of God's mercy and grace.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I walk and go about each day. And sometimes we think about, oh, I don't want to get on that plane because it might crash. I don't want to go swimming because I might drown. But you know, God, you can, something can happen anytime.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be getting on a plane. You know, it's more dangerous to drive across town than to fly.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's more dangerous to walk across telegraph than it is to go on a cruise ship out in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all got me preaching this morning. Let me stop because, you know.
But you're right.
You know, my mother woke up Wednesday morning, and Angela, my sister, was calling her to take her out shopping to Walmart or Myers or something like that. And so my mother was going to get dressed. She sat down in her chair. And that was it. She didn't fly in a plane. It didn't crash.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have a car accident. She didn't get shot. None of that stuff that everybody worries about. My mother sat down in her chair.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't need to crash a plane to get your attention. Or a ship like the Titanic. Or you cashing your check in the bank and somebody's robbing the bank and shoot that. No, God doesn't, he doesn't have to allow that. She just sat down in her chair Wednesday morning and never got back up. Simple as that. Her heart gave out. See, people think that God is some magician, do some great things and fantastic and mysterious and things that get your attention. No.
Mm-hmm.
No, he don't have to do all that stuff. God's not a magician. He doesn't do magic tricks.
Mm-hmm.
She sat in her chair and never got back up. Simple.
Michael Vantool, think about the peace in that moment.
Yeah.
The peace that I'm thinking overcame her in that moment. See, it's a difference when you pass away and you know God and you have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was by my mother's side when she passed away. I was by my grandfather's side when he passed away. There's a different type of transition when you have a relationship with God. I've heard the stories of people tussling and struggling, you know, when it was time for them to transition. But there is a peace that overtakes you in that moment. So just imagine the peace that overcame her. And I just believe that that same peace will just overcome us and give us the strength that we need to process our grief too.
Yeah. Because, you know, Chrissy, I was not I wasn't sad when my dad died. I cried because I'm a human being. I cried because I have feelings. And I think some people cry because they know they need help. You know, they're mm-hmm. crying for themselves in many cases. I cry when my dad died. I cry on Wednesday. But it's not a cry where I'm depressed and sad and all that kind of stuff, because I know how she lived her life. I know mm-hmm. how she played.
Mm-hmm.
I know how she, you know, we, you know, some of us, we just pray when it's time to eat, if that.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother had a prayer life, okay? She prayed mm-hmm. in the morning when she got up before breakfast. She prayed when we went on trips. She prayed when there was something big going on. She had a prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived that life. She was genuine. It was real.
Yeah.
She lived a life of sacrifice and devotion to God. And so when I pulled into the assisted living center and I saw the EMS truck leaving as I was pulling in, I knew. Nobody had to tell me what happened. I already knew. But it was, God just said that it was time for her
mm-hmm.
to come home. That's all. And she mm-hmm. sat in her chair. She waited for that call. And I know a lot of people are going to listen to this program, and but I did want to make sure that I talked about her. Just, you know, we had a lot of her members that try to keep up with her over the years, and I just want to say thank you to all of you who were members of our church, who attended the Salvation Army, who worked with Major and Mrs. Van Tool over the years. I want to thank all of you for your love and dedication, devotion to them over the years, and to our family. Thank you so much. I love you all, and I appreciate the love and consideration that you gave my parents over the years. I know there are people that in different cities, different countries, that have worked with, for, under the Van Tools, Major and Mrs. Van Tool over the years. They were the senior African-American to retire in the Salvation Army in the Midwest U.S. They were the oldest to retire in the Midwest United States. And they retired from the Salvation Army in 1990. That's how long. They retired in 1990.
Wow.
And they traveled. Mm-hmm. They lived. They enjoyed their retirement. God
yeah.
bless them with a long retirement. And I'm just so glad that I was part of this family.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sunday morning team.
Thank you, Michael, for sharing. Thank you for sharing that amazing, again, amazing dedication to your mom and your parents. It is definitely it is beautiful to be able to hear those stories in the different times we're living in. You don't hear many people honoring their parents. It's sad that it's a rarity that, you know, when people, parents pass away, you have to make something up, just, you know, because you don't know what else to say.
Right.
Yours was
you
so genuine and heartfelt.
You got it, Henrietta. I didn't have to make none of this stuff up. This is the real deal. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I want to also, Kimberly Batchelor Davis, she had some problems with the connection this morning, but she's been listening, and she just wanted to let us know. She sent it in our chat that she had some issues with the connectivity here. And also, Chaplain Kathy was also not feeling too well this morning, and I know they're listening. I spoke to Missionary Humphrey. She was so kind, and she shared some very comforting words with me yesterday. And we're going to plan on going out a couple of times over the next 7 days, Missionary Humphrey and I. I'm headed to church this morning. Thank you, and I know. Evangelist Christie, I know you're preparing for services this morning too. God bless you all. Thank you for being here with me on the show and, with our conversation this morning. Thanks to my special guest, Tim Allaby. Henrietta, thanks for bringing him on the show this morning. And hope you guys have a great, great day today. I know we changed up the format a little bit, but there's sometimes we got to do away with the script and just go the direction that God leads you. So thank you so much. God bless you. Have a great, great
Let me do one birthday shout-out, Michael, to Miss Carolina Chapman.
Who's that?
Yes, happy birthday to her today. She is the mother of Wayne County Commissioner candidate Andre Otis. So shout-out to her for having an amazing son who does a lot
of
work.
Chapman.
Kiwana Chapman. Yeah.
Okay.
So happy birthday, darling. I hope you enjoy your amazing day. And I wanted to, just tell everybody to you happy birthday. And, thank you for raising an amazing son.
Absolutely. He's a good guy. And he's been with us on the program a couple times. And and then happy 4th. 4th of July, even though it's on a Tuesday. It's in the middle of the week, so we won't have that holiday weekend stuff like we normally do. Some people have to work on Monday, and they have to work on Wednesday. Have a great 4th of July, and God bless you. Have a great day today.
God bless everybody. Have a great day.
God bless you. Have an amazing day.
My finite mind cannot understand the origin of his goodness. He's a great and mystifying host here before time, a magnificent, encompassing, all-knowing, all-seeing, powerful creator, moving about in goodness and in love and in strength. And with the power of suggestion, he created this world, and at the command of his voice, because the things we see out of mere thoughts, so that the things we see are made out of things we cannot see. And he is everlasting. And he is everlasting. And he is everlasting. Everlasting, and he created every living thing, and he created you, and he created me. For God so loved the world that he gave us his very being. When I pray, I tell him my whole name. Not because he's unfamiliar with me. He knows who I am. A sinner sick and tired of pain. Sometimes I don't know myself through all the pain. And I talk to him more than ever now. And lo and behold, if I had only known how jealous a God he is, not wanting anything to come between me and him, these are the things I say when I pray. When I pray, I know he's listening. I tell him everything. We are so close these days. He is my only true friend, dwelling deep within, protecting me from sin, able to control a raging wind, and tightly gripping his unchanging hand. These are the things I say to him when I pray. Acting upon my request, comforting me from fear, reminding me to look up and always be of good cheer, never wanting me to be without hope. I remember he paid a price. He's the one who paid the most. And in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, these are the things I say when I pray. When I pray, he always answers just in time. His mercy and grace through all the strife, thanking him every day for life, never wanting to let him go. This one thing I know, Jesus came to save me. He cares for me, my strength and my redeemer. I know. He told me so. These are the things I say when I pray. And I pray that when my time is come and gone, these are the things I want my children to say. That even though I was racked with pain, relying on my prayer and faith, thanking God I still found a way to proclaim his good name every day. These are the things I want them to say when they pray.
You've been listening to The Michael Van Tool Show, brought to you in part by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Build your customer base now. And the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call Johnny Hawkins, the personal injury expert, today at 248-567-9990. Thank you for listening. Everything is gonna be all right. Hold your head.